Welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast, where we talk about topics and resources that help you lead more to reach more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. And welcome to another episode of the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. My name's Tom Bump, and I'm your host. And in this episode, I know you're going to be encouraged. This is one of those episodes that I found myself really excited for in preparation, because the story that you're about to hear and the stories you're about to hear, I think, are a great encouragement to my spirit as I saw faith being enacted and lived out by a group of people in a ministry in Pennsylvania that I was super excited to be a part of this summer. And a lot of us have been struggling with, and I know a lot of you out there have been struggling with, the decision of opening your ministries, your kidmen, your churches. It's been a struggle. Some of you have had a lot of discussions with your senior leadership about, should you open, shouldn't you open the children's ministry? And I know it just keeps changing and changing, and the variables keep changing and changing. And we all feel like, hey, somebody starts screaming, stop moving the goalposts, right? Because it feels like the goalposts move every single week. And depending on where you live, they probably do. But earlier in the summer, I had the privilege of driving out to Pennsylvania, back to my old stomping grounds, to a place that I used to go and speak at and hold my own camps at for my own church group. And it was at Camp Joyelle. And Joyelle is set out in a beautiful location in the mountains, southern Pennsylvania, just north of the border of Maryland, in just a beautiful part of the world. And just an amazing time out there. And I got to see, like I say, faith in action. The staff and the director there just really helped increase my own faith. And the ministry is led by Aaron Zebarth, Joyelle Ministries Director. Aaron, welcome to the KMC podcast.
Hey, thanks, Tom. It's good to be here.
Hey, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your family, and, you know, a little bit more about where you live.
Yeah, well, thank you. I live in Greencastle, Pennsylvania, so just north of the Mason-Dixon line. And we've been here for 18 years. Stephanie and I have been married for this is our 24th anniversary this year. We have three children, Abigail, 21, Josiah, 19, and then Anna, 15. And yeah, I've been serving as the executive director here for 18 years. It's been quite an exciting time.
Yeah. Well, and like I say, over those 18 years, I mean, it's just been amazing to see what God has been doing at that camp. And God's been blessing the faith of you and your team. You guys have exercised big faith in the development of the property. And I mean, it's been amazing to watch the different facilities grow and to be a part of it. I mean, I know our church group, we raise money for the splash pad and the new chapel and watch those things come to be. And then for me to have the honor of going and stepping on that stage and being able to speak has been a real blessing. Well, tell us a little bit about Joyelle Camps and the ministry there. That what all does Joyelle Camps encompass? Because it's more than just a summer camp.
Right. You know, our big focus is we want to develop disciples who are excited about seeking Jesus Christ. And well, way back in 1938, when our organization started, we actually taught the Bible to children in public schools. And of course, 1962, 63, then 65, the Supreme Court made some decisions removing the Bible from public schools. And boy, you know, this has had disastrous consequences. Mm. But the leaders of our ministry realized that there was a law on the books called the Release Time Law. It's a 1952 Supreme Court decision that allows students to be legally released with their parents' permission from public schools for religious instruction. And so this last year, 3,146 students were legally released from their public school classrooms each week for biblical instruction. Now, over 1,200 volunteers in 91 different schools made this possible. So that's one of the biggest ways where children hear about Jesus and get to respond to him. And well, it started many years ago that if children memorized enough verses, they could go to a week of summer camp for free. And in 1974, we needed our own site. We were renting another place. We'd rented it for 2 weeks. We needed another week. And we realized that we needed our own place. So the Lord provided. It's amazing how the Lord provided this beautiful piece of land that we have here in South Central Pennsylvania so that we could do camps. And that is expanded into a year-round program. One of the next things that came, though, is, of course, to do camping well, you need leaders and well-trained leaders. And so what has developed is what we now call our 412 Leadership Training Program. And this is a program that's about training students to serve, but not just for camp. It's a program that they could enter as eighth graders. They could re-enter all the way until they graduate from high school. So this is based on 1 Timothy 4:12. And so they're going to learn biblical worldview. They're going to learn what it means to serve and live an authentic Christian community. They're going to get to be in an environment with others who are passionate about serving Jesus, and they're going to have a mentor. And the ideal is this is someone from their church who meets with them regularly to help them grow in their faith. So these are the three keys. Now, over the years, there's been different aspects of the ministry, but so we have our what we call our camps and retreats, and then we have our generation program. And this comes right out of Psalm 24:6, which is, such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. And we want to be raising up a generation that is about seeking the Lord.
Wow, and it's outstanding. And I got to tell you, I've watched this program in action. I've gotten to know some of your students. Some of them have become friends over the years that I've watched come through. And it's so fascinating to watch even some of the young people that were just starting out in the program that are now senior leadership, you know, during the summer, and watching them, how they lead. And one of the things I loved sitting around as I was in between chapel sessions and stuff, is watching the one-on-one interactions that I got to see happening. What a beautiful picture of discipleship happening. That was so thrilling to my heart, because you don't see that a lot. And, you know, I know it's one of those things. Tell me a little bit more of some of the things that you've seen come from that program a little bit. I'm going to go off script here a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Yeah. Well, one of the things that really is huge is a passion for developing Christ followers through one-on-one relationships. In my own life, I grew up at the church in a Christian family, but it wasn't until people sat one-on-one with me and started interacting with me over the deeper things of the faith that I was able to start processing through and thinking about some of the questions that I had that I just was kind of content never to ask or to think through. And so what's happened in our area is a lot of community leaders have developed, in fact, a decent amount of the people on our board have been involved with this over the years. They have learned and grown from it. Now they're community leaders in banks and in pharmacies and financial organizations and law firms. And so that's been really exciting to see how these leaders have grown up and developed. We get to see a lot of relational impact because these students will go back into their schools. They'll share their faith there because they're equipped in doing this. And then they're instrumental in developing others, not only as believers, but then as leaders in Christ. And on a very practical level at Joyel, I was just in a meeting earlier this morning with someone that we're talking through about kind of some leadership placement into a new promotion position. And I remember seeing this person as a young student, and I've gotten to see them grow over years. You know, we believe at Joyel like that leadership, yes, it's learned, but you need opportunities to put it into practice, opportunities where you have someone guide you through this. And this is an environment where there's just multiple opportunities. And, you know, quite honestly, a lot of times we'll fail, but like failure is one of the best teachers.
Yes.
You can learn through it and grow from it. So that's been really helpful. So it's really exciting for me to see people to do this. You know, some of the disappointments, sometimes you see people who aren't willing to put in the effort to grow as a leader. And it's unfortunate what that does long term. But then sometimes 5 or 6 years later, for some reason, something else prompts them and they decide, yeah, it is time now to figure this out and to grow.
Yeah. Well, I love what you guys are doing, and it's been a fantastic thing to see with all of that. So you had some tough decisions to make a few months ago when COVID-19 started breaking out, and you started to see that Pennsylvania was starting to move towards the potential of a quarantine or lockdown, as everybody called them. What did you start to wrestle with when it came to normally, you know, running a full summer program of overnight camps and day camps? You had different groups that would come in as well, on certain weekends. What was that like when it first started? What was running through your mind as you first started facing some of that?
Well, interestingly, I was actually on the Appalachian Trail for a week-long hike with several other guys and started receiving some word from my wife as to what was going on. And out on the trail, the biggest concerns I had, we heard there was a toilet paper shortage, and, well, we just wanted to make sure we had enough for the rest of our hike. But then there was a shortage of Spam, we heard. That was our favorite trail food. So after we got over those initial concerns, I was grateful, because having been pretty removed from it on the Appalachian Trail in the middle of the wilderness, we were able to enter back into and lead the organization with what I'd call a pretty peaceful, godly perspective. You know, not being the frog in the kettle, so to speak, but being one who was jumping into the water, we were able to take some things in with us. So our questions early on became, all right, everything is closing down. We obviously need to shut things down, and we needed to pivot. How can we do ministry in the midst of this pandemic? So all of our school program came to a screeching person-to-person halt, but many of our volunteers were able to immediately adjust to Zoom. And Zoom was something we'd been using a lot already. And Facebook Live. And so a lot of our people were able to make significant growth and progress that way. Our 412 leadership program quickly developed online communities and regular, we called it brief answers to big questions. And there were so many experts that were available that just were glad to share their wisdom and insight that way. But our question had to do with, you know, upcoming camps and retreats, and would we be able to do summer camp? And as we prayed through this, I sensed peace of the Lord that I needed to do everything that we could to be prepared for summer camp if we could do summer camp. And so I came to our board and, you know, kind of challenged them. I said, now it's my responsibility to fulfill our mission. It's your responsibility to protect the mission. So I'm going to present to you a way that we can do summer camp, and you're going to need to say yes or no to this. And so we said, based under a model that in Pennsylvania, we had the red, yellow, and green. So if we were to at least get to yellow, we figured out how we could do summer camp in pods of 25 or less, which meant, you know, that one week that you were here, Tom, you spoke seven times that one day just so that all of the kids could get in. But we also had to evaluate this risk. What's the worst case that could happen? And as I brought this to our board, I said, don't assume for any time that we're going to want to do it as safe as we can, but we're not going to make this decision thinking it's going to avoid us. Let's assume that kids are going to get it at camp. Let's assume we have at least five cases. And I think we need to be prepared that the worst case could happen and someone might contract it. And, you know, whether we could prove or not it was at camp, but let's say someone was at camp, contracted it. And what if they were to pass away? Like, this is how serious it appears. And we wrestled through this. And one of the questions that came up is, okay, if they passed away, did they know the Lord? Did they have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ? And did they meet him at camp? And because the worst thought would be, what if a kid contracted it somewhere else? They would have come to Joy-El had we been open. but because they didn't come to Joel, they didn't hear the gospel, would they have passed away somewhere else and had a difference for eternity? So this is how serious it was to us. And our board very unanimously said, if we can do camp, you know, we need to do camp. And so we worked hard. We developed this 17-page health and safety manual. And what was so cool is, and boy, did we pray. As the Pennsylvania Department of Health started releasing their standard, it was as if they'd been reading our manual, because like the stuff that they were saying is what, you know, we from other research, we said we needed to do. So it's like, yes. And all the way down to the last minute, the orders from the Pennsylvania Department of Health and the governor's office just seemed to give us the opportunity that we needed, you know. But here's how close it was. We had a key core summer leadership group of eight. And so we were operating under 10. Now we have, you know, the religious exemption, but we were operating under 10. We brought in a core group of eight, letting them know, guys, we're going to bring you in to train, but we might not be doing summer. And so it was a week after they came in that we were told next week we're going to be yellow. And so again, by faith, the first day that we became yellow, and we needed to, you know, make this final decision a week before, the first day that we could become yellow is when our staff training began. And so this meant we had multiple groups of 25 around the facility. Now, you know, we walk by faith, not by sight, right? Now, we say this all the time as believers, but sometimes we really walk by sight and pretend it's faith. But there was no question about this. But if we hadn't taken these steps of faith, like, we wouldn't have been able to do camp at all. So there was just a lot of bold moves. And I can tell you what, early on, like every day, well, multiple times a day, James 1:5 was my prayer. Lord, I need wisdom. I need wisdom. And you say you're going to give it generously, and I'm asking you to give it generously. And he did.
Yeah. Man, I mean, I got to tell you, because, yeah, well, obviously I was watching.
Yeah, you were a big part of this, yeah.
I was watching and praying, because I was like, okay, yeah, because I had, you know, I had four camping weeks to speak at one being with you guys, and I got word fairly quickly that the others were canceled already. And that was heartbreaking for me, because I love being at camp. It's one of those places that I feel like regenerate me, even though, speaking 6-7 times a day, was exhausting. It felt so good. I told people, I said, you know, the first couple sessions where I was fighting in my own head, kicking the rust off, you know, after being quarantined and all that. But it, once we got going, it just felt like, oh man, yeah, we're back in the saddle and let's go. Mm-hmm. But I was watching leading up to those weeks, and I know you know, that was one of the things that you pushed out hard on social media, was, hey, people pray. Pray for the governor, pray for the health team, pray for us that we would have that faith and wisdom to create that plan. Because I have to imagine the struggle was real about just saying, okay, we're going to cancel. Because that would have been in some ways, the easy way out, but yet not easy, because nobody cancels something like camp. I know the other camps that canceled their summers, I know that was a heartbreaking and hard decision to come to, but I can only imagine you struggled. What were some of, I mean, you kind of walked through the idea of thinking about worst case scenario, but what was there anything else that you guys felt like you struggled with as you came to this decision? Because I think leaders that are listening to this are going to relate to a lot in the church world, are going to relate to a lot of what you guys struggled with at camp as far as opening, because churches right now are saying, should we open our children's ministry?
Yeah, we had to remember in the midst of this, our mission and why we're here. And I think every once in a while, we'd kind of forget our mission and think our number one goal was to keep everyone happy. And, you know, we know that that's just not possible, but sometimes you just think you'd like to do it because no one wants to get the call. And, you know, when we said, when we were marked as yellow and we could say to people, yep, we're going to open, we had a huge outpouring of support, but we were prepared for some people to be a little frustrated by it. And, you know, there was a very limited amount, But what we found is the vast majority of people who weren't comfortable with it just didn't send their kids. Mm-hmm. They just didn't come. A couple people, you know, thought we were, you know, not caring for kids. And it usually just took, because, you know, we would expose them to risk. But it usually took what we called a fear to faith conversation, where we helped them understand, at least shared with them our perspective on priorities. And, you know, if we're just looking at this world, and if our number one concern is good health in this world, well, then we would have made a different decision. But we even understand that, like, the Bible talks a lot about suffering and how what God uses suffering for. And so as part of our, you know, worldview, we recognize there might be some suffering in the midst of this. In fact, I'll tell you, Tom, this was our toughest summer ever in mm-hmm. regards to just logistics and regards to, because our staff, I mean, as we got to the end of the summer and we did our debriefing, one of the things our staff said is just about every week it was different than the week before. Now, we always loved the changes, but one of the things that made it tough, and this is a real practical thing, was we chose not to run the air conditioners in our dining hall, in our cabins, or things like this. So staff didn't sleep as well, campers didn't sleep as well, but we did this because we wanted as much fresh air as possible blowing through the cabins to keep people healthy. And we're really glad we made that decision at the end of the summer, mm-hmm. but on those really hot nights, that was tough. We did a lot of eating outside. If I never had to have a box lunch again, I would be glad. But, yeah. But the box lunch and outside in the fresh air and enjoying God's beautiful creation was super valuable, and because it helped, you know, people be healthy. So yeah, there were a lot of things. There were a couple of times during the summer where, you know, staff, we just kind of huddled together and just cried together, like, oh my goodness, because things that normally might take one person to do, you know, now all of a sudden took many more people, you know, every day greeting our day campers at the bus and, you know, temp checking them and nope. you know, filling out the health releases seemed quite overwhelming. And it's kind of like, really, do we need to do this? But we stood the course and did all of these extra things. And we're really glad that we did.
Yeah. Well, it's obvious that God blessed that. And I remember laughing, because like I said, it was the second weekend for you guys. And I remember being able to have the staff come in for meals to the dining hall. Yeah. And I remember hearing one of them go, so that's what a table and chairs and plates look like. I had to start laughing because I was like, wow, you know, but then it hit me. It's like, man, but these kids were willing, your staff was willing to say, hey, we're going to suffer through this. The inconvenience for us is so that more kids hear the gospel. And I know when I used to do camps there, we used to gather our staff and we said, look, camp is not about you. It's not for your comfort or convenience. This is all about the camper. And I love how you emphasize the idea of, hey, what's our priority? Because that is an important part of developing strategies. Cause I know a lot of leaders are starting to think about, okay, so how can I open my children's ministry? How can I do it safely? So you had a number, cause you did mention this earlier too, of strategies for yellow and green. Obviously green gave you a lot more freedom to do things, but you obviously had different scenarios that you played. Can you run through just kind of how did you develop those with your team? Can you talk through a little bit of the process that you used to kind of figure out what you did?
Yeah. Well, in Pennsylvania, when we were yellow, that meant we couldn't have groups of larger than 25 gathering together. And so what we determined was, okay, how many campers and staff could we have in this pod? Now we call the pod, that was short for a point of discipleship. And as we talked about these pods, we made some assumptions. We assumed that these would be family groups, that children could be together in them and would not have to wear masks. So they would be in these small family groups of less than 25. But we knew that there would be other staff members who would interact with them from time to time. So the other staff members who might go between pods would need to change We had them wearing aprons or other, PPE. They would need to change those. They would need to change masks so that anything that could potentially transfer from one to the other would just be eliminated. And we also had pods within our staff groups. And anyone working in a kitchen or surrounding a kitchen always had to have masks on. But again, the reason that we would have pods within our staff groups was, well, what if someone did test positive and we had to quarantine everyone there? We knew we wouldn't be able to do camp if the whole staff had to be quarantined. So that's why we had so many different, small groups. One of our strategies was, and this isn't always possible in churches, but it's amazing how creative even we've got. There was so many things that we did outside. Meaning our support staff had to work really hard, but how many times we'd set up worship outside and speakers outside. All right. And the camp environment is really good for that. But we also tried to, keep people out as much as we could of the game room. But if they wanted to go in there, there was just certain cleaning protocols that we followed before and after, just to make sure that everything was taken care of. We made adjustments on busing and, a lot of what we developed was kind of the good, better, and best. This would work. This would be better, but this would be the best, But the best wasn't always practical. And so as we did some things throughout the summer, we'd learn, we can do this pretty well. This isn't a concern. We can adjust this. And we developed a lot of improved practices as the summer went on. Now, after 2 weeks of only being able to do day camp, because that's all that our state of Pennsylvania would allow, we prayed for going to green. And when we were designated as green, we knew this would mean we could do overnight camp. It also increased, and this was kind of a last-minute change from the state of Pennsylvania. We thought going green was going to mean we could do groups of 25, either to 50 or 100. But they actually changed it to 250, which meant our pod size of 25 could have gone up to 250. But because we still wanted to be as safe and wise as we could, we still kept our pods smaller. Just, again, being concerned if we were to run into the risk that certain staff members might need to be quarantined, we didn't want to have to quarantine all our staff and be able to need to close down camp. And so as the summer went along, little by little, we kept increasing our pod size. Well, a very interesting scenario happened in the second to last week of camp, where we had 3 days left. The governor kind of threw down an order across the state, which brought everything back to 25. Oh. So as I was conversing with several other camp directors at this point, I mean, we'd been operating well, we'd been working well, we weren't the area where these situations were coming up. And so are we or aren't we, going to do this? Well, a quick conversation with the Department of Health, said, yes, you probably should go back to all groups being 25 or less. And we're thinking, serious? Like in the middle of the week? I mean, what is this going to do for group dynamics? But then they said, unless you're going to use your religious exemption. And we said, absolutely, we're using that because we have, we've got proven, 6.5 weeks of this has worked well. Now it meant that, we asked everyone before they came in, you're healthy today, you're feeling healthy today, if they're at day camp. And interestingly, and I think we went through more hand soap than we've ever gone through before during the summer of camp. But I think other illnesses were down this summer just because kids were doing a better job at washing their hands. So that's not a bad thing,
Right. Yeah. You come out ahead in some of those areas. And I've always talked, I would always tell the camp nurses, I always pray for them that they have the most boring week ever. Because if they're bored, that means they're not having to see all the kids for little injuries or this and that, or, even the homesickness. And I will say both weeks, both camp nurses that I talked to weren't, they weren't totally bored, but they were able to, both of them said they could read a book a little bit. So that was good. You know, they weren't so busy that they did. But yeah, no, I think that's fabulous how you guys, you continued to learn and pivot and then, you know, you definitely used your wisdom to say, okay, this is the wisest thing to do. And again, God was blessing those choices and those decisions. And you know, you told me you were prepared and almost expecting someone to test positive. So I know people are going to be wondering, so did you experience any of that?
No, not at all. We had over 1,200 campers come this summer, and you know, I don't know exactly, but well over 200 staff and volunteers who served. And as we got to the end of the summer, and you know, there's like when we're at 6 weeks, I'm like, wow, 6 weeks so far, this is amazing. 7 weeks, then we're praying hard. So we got to the end of the summer. Here's how I say it: no reported or notable cases of COVID. And what I mean by this is there's no suspicion whatsoever, nothing that even needed to be tested. And so now we don't say this arrogantly, like, wow, look what we did. We say this as, well, praise God for what he did to us. We certainly didn't expect this, but we just kind of got to the end and like, oh, praise the Lord, you know. And there was a few nights where I woke up thinking, oh, tomorrow could be the day, you know.
Right.
No, God was so good to us in this. We learned a lot through this, but praise the Lord, no cases.
Yes. Well, that leads me right to my next question because, I'm amen and praise the Lord for that. I remember standing outside the chapel my very first week and doing a quick Facebook Live to the KMC group and saying, hey, look, be praying for this. This is God's property. This is God's camp. And we're just, I said, I want you just to cover this as holy ground. And we're going to believe that God's just putting a bubble and COVID is going to be kept out. And you know, yeah, we know that other camps around the country had outbreaks and some of it was traced to camp. Some of them, they weren't. It's always interesting how the media loves to say it was originated at a camp when really it wasn't. From what I've done the research and dug into some of those, because I had people saying, hey, look at this one. And I'm like, no, read further and do some research. It didn't come from the camp. And it wasn't because the camp was up and running. But I'm so thankful and praising the Lord that we got to watch and to be a part of Joel's family there this summer to see that happen. So what did you experience and what did God teach you this summer? What's some of your biggest takeaways as you look back now?
Well, you know, scripture in Hebrews 11:6 reminds us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And, you know, we got to the end of the summer. We recognized there was a lot of visible, like obvious evident faith that we had to take this summer. And we got to the end of the summer. We really felt like the Lord was pleased, you know, with this. So acting by faith again, I think, you know, because as I said to our staff, I'm in my 18th year at Joel, and when you've been here for a while, certain things become predictable, but there was nothing predictable about this summer, but one of the other things that it really helped us all as a staff was to develop boldness and confidence in leadership. Because I've been around here a little bit longer, there's a tendency sometimes from staff to look at me and think that since I've been around here, I'm more seasoned, that I need to do this, you know, or I would understand how this goes. And I guess the other way of saying it is sometimes they'll make excuses. Well, I've never seen this before, so I can't lead through this. You know, and the assumption for early leaders is I can't lead unless I've already experienced this, and then I could lead. And so early on, I had to set the stage reminding our staff, guys, listen, I have never led through a pandemic before, and none of us have ever led through any of this before. So together, we're giving it our best shot. And, you know, we're going to seek the Lord and just rely on his wisdom regularly. And God did that. So for so many of us, it took us out of our comfort zone. We had to take some risks, but we saw, like, it's pretty valuable in doing this. And, you know, Tom, even if we would have gotten to the end of the summer and had some cases of COVID, I would have said it still was really valuable, you know, because it wasn't just about beating COVID. One of the biggest things that we had to do is help parents move from fear to faith, because so many fears were exposed. And we recognized, even with, you know, our office, front office receptionist, one of the first conversations that usually had to occur on the phone was, how can we move, help this parent move from fear to faith? And, you know, whether they're a believer or unbeliever. So imagine an unbeliever is calling in and like they need to do something for their kid, but they're fearful. Mm-hmm. What a great witnessing opportunity that we've been given right off the bat to be able to do this. And then even for believers to help them move through fears. And we had our own fears that we had to regularly move through. But like, this is the essence of our Christian faith. It's being able to trust and believe in the Lord. So those are some really big things.
Wow. That's so good. That is so good. And I saw some of that in action too. I was listening to, you had some of the staff, they were out calling some of the families, you know, inviting their kids to the next weeks of camp and different things. And I remember overhearing a conversation with one of the young men talking to a mom, and you could sense that she had some fear. And he shared some of those kind of things with her. I love it. Now that I'm obviously catching that, though, he was parroting the things that you all had been sharing with them, and he was able to talk to her, and I'm pretty confident by the end of the conversation she was signing her kids up. It just seemed like it. That's the overhearing of the conversation, but that was so encouraging to me. And I think these are principles that a children's ministry leader, if you're listening, you can take some of these things and say, hey, you know what? We do need to help parents move, because there's parents right now struggling with, should I send my kids to school? And they're wrestling, you know, with that same question of, should I send my kid to camp? Well, you know, hey, here's an opportunity. Now, do I send my kid to school? Do I send my kid to church? You know, you can play those same questions, and here's some solid answers that I think are so encouraging for all of us to say, hey, we have a golden opportunity to help parents see their faith in action. And what a testimony to our children if we would live this out.
And in so many ways, we've lived a very comfortable life in America, and so many things are so predictable and so safe. But I think that's kept us from developing a real vibrant relationship in which we need to depend on the Lord. God wants us dependent on Him. And we have created independent lives. And one of my prayers, and prayers of the Joyelle team here during this time, is, Lord, please teach us everything you want to teach us during this time. We recognize in God's sovereignty, He has provided this pandemic for us, and we can learn a ton. And I don't want to miss anything that He would have for us to learn during this time.
Amen. Amen. Well, I think that's a great way to wrap that up, wrap this conversation up. Aaron, I sure appreciate your time. I appreciate your friendship. It's always a blessing to come out to Joyelle. I'm looking forward to some more partnerships with some new exciting things that we've got that I can't wait to share with our listeners about a brand new ministry that's coming. Aaron knows about it, but I can't tell about anybody yet. And it's killing
Very
me.
Very exciting.
But it is coming, and Joyelle is going to be a part of that as well, and partnering with me in this new ministry, and I'm super excited about that. Hey, tell people how they can learn more about Joyelle. Where can they head to catch up some stuff?
Well, we'd love to learn our webpage for the camps, www.joyellecamps.org, and you can click on our blog there. And then we also have www.joyellegeneration.org. And you can learn a lot about our school program, our leadership training program, and just reach out to me as well, aaron@joyelle.org, if you have any questions.
Yeah, and if you're on the East Coast, if you're, you know, around that area, check it out. Take your church group there. Go do a retreat. Go visit. It's a beautiful location, historic area. You're not far from Gettysburg and Greencastle and Chambersburg have a lot of history, and it's just a beautiful area. I loved sitting in front of of the worship center out on the benches there. And I love all the new swings you've got around there. Just to have the conversations, and it was fun sitting there talking with staff, talking with campers. Yeah. I love the place. So I hope people will go check it out. And like I say, use the facility if they're interested, or if you've got kids out there in Pennsylvania, watch for release time clubs, get your kids plugged in there, because that's a fantastic thing. And you're always looking for volunteers out there as well. So if you're interested, feel free to dive in on that. So we'll put all those links in the show notes as well, so that people can find you as well. So Great. Thanks again for the time, Aaron. Hey,
thank you, Tom.
Appreciate it very much. So thanks for listening to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope that you will. If you are willing to share it, we'd love for you to share the podcast with as many people as you can. We'd love to get more people listening and being encouraged. If you're not part of the Facebook group, check out the Kids Ministry Collective Facebook group as well. So again, thanks for listening to this episode, and join me again for another edition real soon.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope that it's helped and encouraged you. If you would, support our podcast by continuing to share it with other leaders. And if you haven't already, hey, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. We look forward to hearing from you how this podcast has helped and sharpened your skills and ministries. So let us know on your Facebook page, or head over to kmccoach.net and share with us there. And thanks again for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast.